This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757. And starting our program today is Stephanie Grace, the advocate columnist, and she's been writing columns about Louisiana politics going back to 2003 when she was with the Times-Picayune, and of course the Advocate and the Picayune are now together, and she continues to do her thing, and it's always a joy to read her work. And this week she has provided some fire for those who are supportive of the president and the junior senator from Louisiana, John Neely Kennedy. In her column, John Kennedy goes from a class clown to a willing dupe. And Stephanie Grace, I'm sure when you wrote this, you know the terrain. You probably knew fully well that you were going to get a response.
Yes. It's interesting. It came in two waves. One very positive, thank you, bravo, all morning and then all afternoon. Came the other way.
How
dare you?
So as far as more of one or the other, have you been able to gauge that?
Probably about even in terms of people who've emailed me directly. You know, beyond that, it's a little hard to tell kind of what, whether people are going to contact me or just, you know, go on Facebook and rant someplace where I'm not going to see it. Or.
And speaking from personal experience, more often than not, people respond when they're angry rather than when they're pleased, just like
right.
They call shows like this more often than not when they're mad at somebody.
In this case, people are angry, but they're angry at what's happening. So when I write about issues like this, you know, involving the president, frankly, or involving support for the president by some of our elected representatives, Steve Scalise, John Kennedy, I do hear a lot because I think there's a lot of, you know, obviously we know the numbers in the state overall, but there are, you know, it's a 60-40 state, but, you know, 40% is still a lot of people.
Well, the senator goes around calling people dumb, including the Speaker of the House, but unlike...
Definitely not dumb, yeah.
No. And unlike you, he does not have a degree from an Ivy League school. You have two from Brown and Columbia. So take that, John Neely Kennedy, graduate of Vanderbilt and the University of Virginia.
And Oxford,
where
pretty good, pretty
where
impressive.
He paid his way. He was not a Rhodes Scholar.
Not a Rhodes Scholar, yes.
But
and he's never claimed to be.
No, but he does go to reunions of Rhodes Scholars.
Oh, he does?
Yes, he does. That's what Martin Hugh Jones told me, and I wouldn't dispute Dr. Martin Hugh Jones.
Ah.
So John Neely Kennedy's a smart guy, and he's not reluctant to call other people dumb. But this act that he has perfected, some believe it's just that, an act, and others believe that after 55 years when he became a Republican, that the true John Kennedy was rolled out, that he was holding back for all these years. You've known him for a long time. What do you think?
Boy, that would be a lot to hold back for all these years. I think his finger is to the wind. I think he was a Democrat. He, as we all know, in Louisiana, I think had ran for Senate twice before he actually got elected the third time. The first time he ran, he was a Democrat who ran against David Vitter. He wasn't just a Democrat. He was the more moderate Democrat in that field against Chris John, who was kind of the John Bro candidate. Then he switched parties with Vitter's support and ran against Mary Landrieu, lost. And then he won again. He won in 2016 when it was clear a Republican was going to be elected to replace David Vitter. And I guess I really see the change in that election. When I look back, and there's a reason I started my column with Weed Killer, the famous line that he used repeatedly in that campaign, which is, I'd rather drink Weed Killer than support Obamacare. Because that's, you know, that's kind of who he is now. That's what he's chosen to be. That is not a policy criticism, right? That's not saying here are the places where Obamacare falls short and here's what I will do to fix it. That's the equivalent of, you know, this thing he's saying now all the time, which is going around saying something sucks. And he actually said that, remember, and that's not a word I would normally use on the radio, so I apologize for
that's
that,
okay.
But our senator uses it.
And he's used it more than once.
More than once. It's, you know, it's like a, you know, I get this vision of a child who, like, you know, says something naughty and gets away with it. Like, that's the dynamic. And, if you know, and that kind of is where our politics are now, sadly. So you know, to the extent, you know, Donald Trump is our president, so to the extent that he sees that, I guess, sadly, he's right. But, you know, you can go along with it or not go along with it.
Well, Stephanie Grace is here to talk with you. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. And her column of December 3rd, John Kennedy goes from class clown to a willing dupe. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Miss Stephanie. Good morning, Mr. Jim. I just wonder, you know, we have elections here, and that's how we choose these people. I was just wondering, since Senator Kennedy and, to an extent, Senator Cassidy seem to be representing Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and, well, the country of Russia, more so than they're representing us poor, dumb Louisianians. I was wondering if those people are going to get him reelected, because why should we?
All right. What about when Kennedy says Ukraine was involved in the 2016 election, he's basically parroting the words of Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin, and those words, of course, have been discredited. Why would the senator attach himself to a dictator, a murderous guy like Vladimir Putin?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because again, it's a choice. I'm looking for this tweet. I'm not finding it right away, but I should say, you know, to the caller, Mike Pence tweeted out the other day that John Kennedy has done a great job of, you know, representing basically Donald Trump and the Trump agenda, you know, to which you think that's not who he represents. He represents Louisiana, but he does. And you know, the president is still popular here. The president, you know, if the election were held today, he certainly would get Louisiana. It's hard to imagine a scenario where he wouldn't. So that's kind of the backdrop here. So by supporting the president, he's supporting, you know, the work of Vladimir Putin, it seems. Why he would choose to be out front in that, to me, is the big mystery. Because he's going on these national television shows to kind of, you know, really be the face of this point of view. And he's getting a lot of blowback for it. He's getting a lot of ridicule nationally. Brian Williams, you know, he's John N. Kennedy, not John F. Kennedy. Brian Williams keeps calling him John No Relation Kennedy, which is a nice little dig, and pointing out his academic background that, you know, he may come off as not that bright, but he actually is. So the implication being that it's all an act, which I think, you know, a lot of people believe. But one thing that was so interesting to me is the New York Times had a story, I think, Thanksgiving week, saying senators had a briefing from the Intelligence Committee basically saying this is, you know, Russia interfered and this line that Ukraine interfered is Russian propaganda. You know, they were told by the experts who work for our government. And John Kennedy, you know, who did take that trip to Moscow, remember a few years ago, the July 4th trip with other senators, people asked him about it because he is, you know, putting himself out there, pushing the other point of view, and he said, well, I wasn't briefed. And you're like, okay, so why weren't you briefed? If this is an area that you're really focusing on, and we don't know. I don't know, you know, he didn't say I was sick that day. He didn't say I was, you know, back in the district, you know, back in Louisiana. He just said I wasn't briefed. So, again, if this is your issue and you're not even seeking out a briefing that's available to you, I don't get it.
877-217-5757 for Stephanie Grace on Talk Louisiana. We go to Ryan at LSU. Ryan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim and Stephanie. I just had a comment and question. So I want to say, you know, I think we value too much Ivy League education when it comes to public figures. I do think public figures should be educated well. But I think we undercut public education in that department. And to say that, I think we have people at LSU who can govern way better than some of these people in office right now. I don't know if I would include myself in that, but we have very bright and intelligent people from LSU. And I think some of these senators, especially Senator Kennedy, I mean, he's just talking from, he's pulling this stuff from, I don't know where he's pulling this stuff. But thank you and have a good morning.
All right. Well, but he has noted he is not an Ivy League graduate. And we have two members of our congressional delegation, Clay Higgins and Garrett Graves, who do not have college degrees. So Being an Ivy Leaguer has never been a precursor to political success in Louisiana.
And certainly we've had many talented politicians from LSU. I mean, the governor is a graduate from an LSU law school and, you know, many more. I think the reason people bring it up, the reason I bring it up is there is, you know, because of his behavior, there is this kind of debate, like, does he understand what he's doing? And one piece of data among many others is, you know, he has this he was able to get into these schools, and he did very well at these schools, law review editor. I mean, so that suggests that maybe, you know, he does know what he's doing, and that's, you know, that's kind of the question everyone's trying to figure out.
All right. We're going to spend some more time with Stephanie Grace, and it's your time to get in the conversation if you'd like. 877-217-5757. A listener, Kristen, does note that David Bruce Vitter was an Ivy League graduate and a Rhodes Scholar. We're back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Our guest for a little while longer is Stephanie Grace. She has a graduate degree from Columbia University, 1992, Brown University Political Science, 87. Another listener noted that Bobby Jindal also was a graduate of an Ivy League school like David Vitter, and he, like David Vitter, was a Rhodes Scholar. 877-217-5757 is your number for Stephanie Grace. Her latest column slams Senator John Neely Kennedy, saying he's gone from a class clown to a willing dupe. And this is in response to his defense in multiple entities, venues, praising the president and criticizing those who have taken aim at the president, and saying that Ukraine, where, of course, is the focal point of the discussion about impeachment, was trying to interfere in the 2016 election, something that has been largely disproved. Intelligence officials in the U.S. say Russia was involved, and we know that, but not Ukraine. Here's the senator commenting about this.
I think both Russia and Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election. Russia was very aggressive, and they're much more sophisticated. But the fact that Russia was so aggressive does not exclude the fact that President Poroshenko actively worked for Secretary Clinton.
The entire intelligence community says it was Russia.
Right, but it could also be Ukraine.
That was Chris Wallace from Fox and John Kennedy. And Stephanie, your response?
It's interesting that he's getting pushback on Fox, isn't it? Now, Chris Wallace is not Fox. Chris Wallace is kind of an outlier at Fox, if not Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity. But, you know, I think this happened. Chris Wallace actually pushed back pretty hard on Steve Scalise recently, too, on some of these same issues involving the president and impeachment. And it, you know, it's interesting. Kennedy then went on CNN with Chris Cuomo and walked back what he said a little bit, but then he walked it right forward again on NBC. So he's kind of making the rounds. He likes being on TV. I will give him that.
Well, as my friend Neil Gladner says, the most dangerous place in America is to get between John Kennedy and a television camera.
Yes.
And he's running for re-election in 2022. Of course, if the president is re-elected, John Kennedy would like to have him at his side. And then in 2024, when John Neely Kennedy will be 73 years old, he has the option of running for president, and he would either be running against an incumbent Democrat or running to become the, to take the baton from Donald John Trump. And so there is an opportunity for a second coming of Senator John Kennedy to the White House. And as much as we might laugh about that, years ago people laughed when Jimmy Carter ran for president. Reg Murphy, the editor of the Atlanta Constitution at the time, said, "Jimmy Carter is running for what?" And then there was Bill Clinton. So why not John Kennedy, who has called Nancy Pelosi dumb? Gustavo writes one of your liberal idols, Nancy Pelosi, got offended when they asked her why she hated Trump. She said, "I find that question offensive as a Catholic. Cannot hate when you're a Catholic," she said. Gustavo continues, "She's a selective Catholic. She's evil. I'm a devout Catholic," writes Gustavo, "and I hate some people. Cannot help it. especially hypocritical people. So the intensity out there is pretty raw, Stephanie Grace.
It is. And, you know, the question, I think the reporter, even though was from kind of a right-wing outlet, but was asking a question that was based on what Republicans are saying, which is that Nancy Pelosi hates Donald Trump. And I'm not going to get into theology here. I'm not Catholic. But, you know, that from people I know who are Catholic, that does seem to be a, you know, word that holds special meaning. And but she was also sending a message. I mean, she's very much trying to take this, you know, it is very much in the political realm. I mean, one thing I think we need to remember, I was reminded of this watching Cedric Richmond on the Judiciary Committee in this week's impeachment hearing, like, oh, yeah, he's Joe Biden's national co-chair. So, you know, the Republicans are trying to protect Trump. The Democrats are not, you know, neutral in this, obviously. You know, the fact that they're going after Joe Biden, I cannot imagine sits well with Cedric Richmond, for example. But she is trying to rhetorically take this out of the political realm and put it in the constitutional realm. That's her strategy, and I think it's a smart strategy given the lay of the land. Will it work? Probably not. But it's, you know, it's kind of the more dignified strategy, I think, mm-hmm. to say this is about the Constitution, and there is a lot of truth to it. Who knows whether that matters. But
okay.
I'm not good.
Barbara and Robert Landrinos and a message saying, I've known John Neely Kennedy since he attended high school in Zachary. He's remained the same, an ambitious opportunist, writes Barbara and Robert, who blows lazily in the wind. He stands for nothing. He believes in nothing. He will go down in Louisiana history as, this is their words, weaselly nothing. And you helped cement his legacy with that pitch-perfect column. Oh, my. Thank you, Stephanie. 877-217-5757 for Stephanie Grace. Jim and Walker. Hi, Jim. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I do have one question that, if it really does occur, and that Mr. Haney does, in fact, run for president, is he going for Gomer Pyle as his running mate, or... Maybe Wilbur the talking pig.
Okay.
Well, oh, God. Well, Gomer Pyle, of course, is one of the nicknames that I see in some of my emails and on social media for him.
For John Kennedy? Shazam.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. John Neely Kennedy, who ran three times for the U.S. Senate and won the third time, and he is nothing if not resilient. He is definitely a survivor in Louisiana politics. And who would have thought that a freshman senator, he's only been in office 35 months, not even quite 35, and he may be one of the best-known U.S. senators in the country right now. So.
Right. Well, again, one of the real divides, I think, among Republican senators is those who are, you know, those who, as you said, run towards the cameras and those who run away from the cameras. And I think a lot of them, you know, there are all those great shots of, you know, senators getting into the elevator and pressing the close button with camera crews chasing them when... You know, people want to ask about this issue because it's hard to defend, but certain people are choosing to do it, and we've got two of them in our delegation. We've got Steve Scalise and we've got John Kennedy, who are, you know, right out there in front.
And they're good at it when they get before the cameras. A friend of mine, who shall at least for now remain nameless, he paid $4,000 to attend a Wolf Blitzer show. What is it? The Situation Room on CNN. This was for a charity. And it said Wolf had a congressman on, and 30 seconds in, the producer is yelling into Wolf's earpiece, "Get him off! Get him off! Get him off! He's boring."
Oh wow!
And so John Kennedy knows how the game's played, and he's doing it very well. He's not boring, and neither is Steve Scalise, who is of course just as passionate about his defense of Donald Trump. James and Metairie. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Jim. Good morning to Stephanie. Stephanie Grace, you know, your name is all the time brought up when it was mentioned that Mr. Steve Scalise self-identified himself as, quote, David Duke without the baggage. Could you give us some details as to that conversation, you know, like when it was, where it was, and, the context?
Right. Google for the column that's from, because the entire thing was about the context. And, I wrote it when it was revealed that he had spoken to a group connected to David Duke back when he was in the legislature. So this conversation took place back then, even before then, when he was just getting into politics, and I was just starting out as a journalist. And it was, you know, we were sitting down for coffee. It was kind of a get-to-know-you session. And what struck me at the time was that, you know, I mean, I think it was very honest. I think it, you know, without the baggage means without, you know, I am not a former member of the Klan. I am not a racist. I am not a bigot. That's what he was saying. And, but I support some of the same policies. And again, if you think back to the time in the 90s, this is when those things that David Duke was talking about in, you know, in his big elections in 1991 being for governor, welfare, you know, getting people off welfare. I mean, some of this stuff that has kind of has a racial tinge to it, that was becoming very mainstream in Republican circles.
We'll pick up with this with Stephanie Grace. Thank you, James. We'll return after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferry is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757, and you can send an email if you wish to talk at talklouisiana.org. And a few more minutes with Stephanie Grace, the exceptional columnist for The Advocate, and she's been writing columns about Louisiana life and politics for the last 16 years. And back in the day when she was a reporter, I believe it was still in her reporting days with the Picayune, she came across Steve Scalise. James and Metairie mentioned this, and if I remember right, Stephanie, it was at the Landmark Hotel, which is now still open, and it was a gathering there where he made the comment to you, "I'm David Duke without the baggage."
No, that's where the event, I wrote the column when Bayou Brief, Lamar White, did his piece about Steve Scalise having spoken to a group connected to David Duke at the Landmark Hotel.
Okay.
I was not at that. What I was trying to do in that column, and it's interesting because it was all about, here's the context of what was going on in Jefferson politics at that time when David Duke was kind of ascendant, and it's interesting to see that line kind of taken out of context repeatedly.
Well, and I did just that. But
oh, no, it's okay. Rachel Maddow has, all kinds of people have. It's okay. But it's, you know, what I was really talking about was you had this generation of Republican politics. David Vitter was one of them, a whole bunch, you know, everyone around me at that time. And they were looking at, you know, they knew their voters were David Duke voters because David Duke had performed very well in their area. So that's one of the things they were dealing with. And they were conservative. They were talking about some of the same issues that David Duke had talked about, but trying to separate it from the David Duke baggage. So that's what Steve Scalise was saying to me, and it, you know, he said it in a way that I think was more direct than somebody like David Vitter would have done. David Vitter, who had been out of Louisiana at that point, you know, where Steve Scalise had not, and kind of knew how that would sound to an outsider, and I was an outsider. I was very new at that point, which I think is why it's stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, to me, it's kind of this like dirty little secret that, you know, if you are a Republican politician in this area at this time, your voters were very likely David Duke voters. And so when Steve Scalise went and spoke to a group connected to David Duke, you know, that's the context, that Steve Scalise was always against David Duke. Let me say that very directly. Back when David Duke ran, he was not a supporter. He was an opponent. So.
Okay. And reporters are often accused of being left of center and because of that attacking conservatives. And I think most reporters of all political stripes did not like David Vitter personally. I'm saying most, not all, but most. But most reporters of all political stripes do like, as far as personally, they like Steve Scalise. He's a nice man. And this backstory now of him overcoming what he did makes him even more appealing to the media. If he had run for governor, I don't think there's any question he would have won, Stephanie.
I agree. Completely agree. He's, well, and I should say reporters are people. So when you're saying that, you're saying that he is more liked by people, and David Vitter is less liked by people, and that includes people in politics, and that includes, you know, people that politicians come across. And I think that is absolutely the case, that he is very well liked, even by people across you know, who are, you know, he's a very, very ideological Republican at this point. He always has been, but he's really dug down since he became, you know, started rising through the leadership in Congress. But, you know, go back to his very close friendship with Cedric Richmond. Go back. If you see him in, he has a very good relationship from what I see from, with John Bel Edwards. When John Bel Edwards goes up and has meetings in Washington, Steve Scalise, when he had the big office when he was on the majority side, let the governor use it to have meetings. He's personally very engaging and very nice, and that's true. And again, you know, and popular, and the fact that he was coming off of this horrible incident where he was shot, absolutely he could have won, and I think that's why Donald Trump encouraged him to run.
Yes, indeed. Donald Trump also encouraged John Bel Edwards to switch parties, which yes. He did not do.
Right.
A few emails, a listener notes that Jefferson Parish, the parish that produced Scalise mm-hmm. and Vitter and Duke and even Bobby Jindal, is now a Democratic stronghold.
It's an amazing thing for someone who covered it 20 years ago, and I think a couple things are going on there. One, specific to the governor race, because even the people who elect who gave 57% of their vote to John Bel Edwards, they still gave a whole, you know, they still chose Kyle Ardoin in the Secretary of State's race. So that was a more straight Republican-Democrat race. It is becoming more racially diverse, and there is this trend that we're seeing around the country of suburban areas with a lot of college-educated people, women specifically, pulling back from the Republican Party. I mean, this is kind of what's, you know, the national trend that is also happening here and also happening in places like South Baton Rouge, you know.
All right. We're going to try to slide a few in with Stephanie's already going into overtime, and she's on deadline, but we'll keep her if she'll go for a few more minutes. David in Atlanta, please be brief. David, you're on with Stephanie Grace.
Ms. Grace, thank you for doing a great job. Senator Kennedy evidently didn't know the Republican majority Senate Intelligence Committee found no evidence of Ukrainian involvement in the 2016 election. How could Senator Kennedy not know this? Is he a bold-faced liar or is he stupid?
We've just said he's not stupid. And
he's not stupid. I believe the intelligence, you know, they conduct their work behind closed doors, and there have been reports that they found this. There's not a public report on that specifically, but you would think he would know. And also, like I said, that there was a briefing that was available to senators at large that he was not part of for whatever reason. So
Ricky Causey, a strong email here. He says, I feel a profound sense of embarrassment when I see John Kennedy appear in an interview. He reinforces many of the stereotypes of an ignorant, white, physically unattractive, and backward Southerner. I also believe there might be something psychologically off with this man that has not been professionally diagnosed. I am happy each day to present a polar opposite representation of a Southern white male to my friends and acquaintances outside of our state. Now, those are strong words, and I suspect Ricky Causey was probably never a supporter of Senator Kennedy. But, Stephanie, he may be laughing all the way to the ballot box.
Well, he's not up for 3 years, so, you know, you don't know how that's going to go. But a good indication, I think, is the person who's up next year is Bill Cassidy, and we haven't heard a peep about an opponent, a Democratic opponent.
Well, he has one, Antoine Pierce, but very underfinanced.
Very underfunded, not someone who has any sort of name recognition and you know, certainly not someone who comes out of the political establishment. At this point in our, especially in a national race, and one thing I think to remember is the extent to which Senate races are basically like presidential races. They are referenda on the national parties.
Let's go to Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Stephanie Grace. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, Ms. Grace, apart from the antics of our politicians, is the problem with Louisiana's place on the national stage the fact that there are so many Duke supporters?
Duke supporters? 671,000 people voted for David Duke in 1991, and Stephanie, some of them are still alive and voting.
Right, and you know they're not going to admit it. Most of them, from what I've seen, it's not. But that's what people do in the privacy of the ballot box is really revealing. And it's, you know, I came out of political polling, and this is something that, you know, is always an issue. Do people, do people admit what they do, and if not, to the public? Or, you know, and you see this with Donald Trump. You see, you definitely saw it with David Duke. You see it sometimes with a racially polarized election. Do people, you know, there's kind of an acceptable answer that they will give in public, and then there's what they do in the privacy of the voting booth. And
well, I promoted.
We'll still talk about David Duke, even though he's been out of office for 25 years. So that tells you something.
Right. A discussion point, the 500,000 views on one of your tweets. What was that all about?
Oh, boy. That was about Barron Trump and the comment that the law professor from Stanford made, which was unfortunate but not personal. It was, she said basically, in explaining how we do not have kings in this country, that you can name your child Barron, but you can't say your son is a Barron. You can't make your son a Barron, which, you know, maybe she shouldn't have said, but it certainly is nothing. It is not mocking the person of the child of the president. And there was this kind of ginned-up outrage that she was picking on a child, and she did apologize. And I kind of said, you know, I tweeted out a little get-over-it people. I mean, this is not, you know, she wasn't attacking him personally. And, I mean, think about some of the things that people, very well-known people, said about Chelsea Clinton and, you know, even the Obama girls.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that.
I remember Rush Limbaugh, and I'm not kidding, once compared Chelsea Clinton with Millie the dog, the pet.
He did, and I don't recall him apologizing.
No, he didn't. He did. But Barron, the president's son, has two R's, not one R.
Like the publication, so yes.
Randy and Zachary, we're getting close to the finish line. Please be brief. You're on with Stephanie. Hi, Randy.
Yes, I believe sometime in the future years that when the Republicans regain the House, that Steve Scalise sometime will be Speaker of the House.
Speaker? Mm-hmm.
Is that in the offing?
If the Republicans were to gain the House, I think he probably would. Could be Speaker at this moment. It could be that by the time that happens, his time will pass. But because I don't think Kevin McCarthy is a very strong figure, the House isn't flipping. I mean, no way is the House flipping. Not only because of where the mood of the country is, but also there have been some, you know, in North Carolina, there have been some legal decisions that have kind of made, you know, remove some of the advantages in certain states for Republicans. Not anytime soon.
All right. 15 seconds before we go. Gustavo and Goodwood, you have the floor. Please be brief, Gustavo.
I just to say, you know, every time non-Republican people or non-conservative people make a silly statement like Barron, and it's a silly joke. It's just Joe being Joe. It's a silly joke.
All right. Thank you, Gustavo, and thank you, Stephanie. Always a pleasure.